All views within this interview are those of the individual. See the description for more information on today's guest. Amuse, educate, inspire, observe, understand. The journey starts now.
Hi everyone, another journey. Today's journey is featuring the Guru Coach, monarchy given to her by Indian clients and coach training students. She's a developer of 80 plus award winning mythologies called The Science of Mike in Etiquette. She's named 2019 and 2020 Top 100 Global Management Consultant by CEO Today Magazine. And she's enjoying life now, but we're not going to talk about everything about her life because it's not me telling her journey, it's herself telling her journey. It is, and we welcome Betska to the journey.
Thank you, David. It's a pleasure being here with you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, I know we've had a few, let's say, and I don't mind our listeners listening and hearing this, we had a few glitches just to get here, but we're finally together.
Yeah, glitches are fine.
Yeah. And it's all good because we're in now. Now, everyone has a journey in life, as you well aware, and we even touched upon a few memories before we started recording. Mm-hmm. Now, the earliest memory I like to ask guests is, what is your earliest memory? And now, I do make that into a joke saying, yes, the earliest memory is that you're born.
Yeah, really.
Because it's true. The earliest memory you do have is you're born. But for the context of that, we're not going to talk about being born. We're not going to be whatever you want to call it. So what was your earliest memory that started your life journey?
As they come into my intuition, I will speak about them. One of the fondest memories I have as a child is growing up in Insinger, Saskatchewan, Canada, on the prairies. Our hamlet had 150 people in it or something like that. Very tiny, tiny, right? And but some of my fondest memories are spending a lot of time on the farm with my grandparents, particularly my grandfather. He was my first spiritual teacher, you know. He would take me out into the forest and introduce me to the types of mushrooms to pick and picking wild raspberries and wild strawberries. And then he would take me to church on Sunday morning. And so I would get all dressed up, you know, with my only fancy dress. We were quite poor. My only fancy dress and go-go boots, you know, white go-go boots that you can tell what era that's from. And I would go and I'd, you know, sit in the pews and men on one side, ladies on the other, that's in the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. And it was just a very special time to watch my grandfather in prayer. So he taught me a lot just by me observing what he did with nature and how close he was to nature, which is, you know, part of spirituality. And then the other memory that comes floating in is my father refused to let me finish university. It's kind of interesting, you know. And this is what he said, David. He said, no, you because I got the first year of university paid by scholarship, and then I needed him to sign a loan for me or whatever. And he said, no, you cannot go to university I said, why? I wanted to become a doctor. He said, because Ukrainian girls just get married and have kids. Can you believe that? So, I mean, I'm obeying my father, you know. I mean, he was a pretty smart man. So I said, well, okay, so how do I get an education? He said, go and see the world. And I said, how do I do that? He said, I don't know, you figure it out. So lo and behold, what came in the newspaper was an ad for people to join the Canadian Diplomatic Service. And they were particularly looking for women. And so by the grace of God, I got into the Canadian Diplomatic Service. And I think it was because I had computer skills. I could speak a few languages and, you know, that sort of thing. So away I went to Ottawa, got lots of training. And then I served in Paris, France for 2 years, Bern, Switzerland for a year, and then 2 years in London, England. Such different cultures, all three of them, right?
Yeah.
Story that's floating in my journey here is when I was in London, I was invited to go to Buckingham Palace to meet the Queen, along with maybe 3,000 other diplomats, you know. So it was a big garden party. Yeah. And I remember, David, the big pure silver urns of hot water, you know, that the tea was made from, and all the little crumpets and little tea sandwiches. And I remember standing in line to shake hands, or not, you know, depending on what the royal person wanted. But the current king, Charles, he was there, and I remember his blue eyes, and meeting the queen and just having a few words and so on. And that was really special for me, because we had to walk through the palace to get into the garden, and the garden was exquisite. But so is the palace itself, with all the paintings and so on. And I had to have a date, and the date I took was a Canadian fellow doing his PhD. He wasn't a diplomat, but he was a friend. So he came with me, and he was all dressed up in top hat and tails, you know, the usual. We felt so glamorous, you know, like I was in my early 20s. But the funny story, one of the funny stories was that I went to, I got an invitation to sit in the royal box at the Royal Ascot races.
Yeah.
So again, I asked my date if he would come with me. And I have in one of my books, The God in Coaching, you can see it on the mantle over there. I put a picture of the two of us getting ready to go to the Royal Ascot races. Now, David, you know, in England, what are the names of those big black long cars? They're like limousines. What do they call them?
Oh, yeah, I should know, but yeah, they like limousines, but
it's
yeah.
Not a Daimler or I forget, but
Rolls
Royce. They're like a Rolls Royce, yeah.
But obviously, other companies make cars, so I would just say Rolls Royce, but others haven't made.
So there was this long line of these very elegant Rolls Royces, because these are all rich people going to the Ascot races. And there was a separate line for those going to sit in the royal box. And no one gave us any instruction. So except for what we had to wear, you know, you have to wear gloves, a hat, and the usual thing. And the men have to wear top hat and tails. And the only car I had, David, was a red Volkswagen Superbug.
So one, you way can... to make, one way to make a statement, a Swedish car, red.
So, exactly. So you can just see the picture and make a great movie. All of these black Rolls Royces, and then in the middle is this little red Superbug that we were in. I mean, you couldn't miss us, right? And my date had to take his top hat off, because those Volkswagen Super Beetles are not very tall, right? So we laughed. It was just so funny. And we got to sit in the royal box, and Charles was there again, King Charles, and the Queen, and various other people. So I had a great life. I was very young, and this other funny story is coming to my mind. As when I was in Paris, I was a diplomatic courier. I was the first female diplomatic courier for Canada in Europe. And so I was carrying these red bags of top secret information. Like, I had to sit with them on the plane. And if I went to the bathroom, I had to take them with me, you know, because, you know, they're top secret. And I don't know if you're going to edit this or not, but it's quite a funny story. Anyway, this guy's sitting next to me, and he sees these red bags, and he asks me in French, "So, Mademoiselle, what do you do?" And I said, "Well, I'm a female diplomatic courier for Canada." And he said, "Well, what's in your red bag?" I said, "Those are all top secret information that I need to protect." And he said to me, "So, Mademoiselle, where is your 38? And meaning, where's your gun? Where's your revolver to protect the bag?" And I said, "But monsieur," very cheekily, I said, "But monsieur, I'm still in a training bra." Instead of a size 38, I'm in a training bra. Oh, the look on his face, it just shut him right down. So funny. Excuse me.
But it's just funny because memories like that will always live with you. And, you know, it may be serious, but as I've learned, and I've learned this over the years of, you know, interviewing people as well as being in contact with people because I've worked on a radio station, you know, it's not always about the serious. Yes, you do have serious elements, but then there is fun parts of life that make it more worthwhile. And that's what makes life exciting.
It did. It does, yeah. And then when I came back to Canada, well, first of all, when I was in London, I married my first husband, wonderful gentleman. He was a medical doctor, and he wanted to come to Canada and study radiology. So we did. We came back to Canada, and he studied radiology. Wonderful man. We divorced after 7 years. We just were not compatible enough, and I'm married to my husband, John, now for 35 years, so we're very happy. He's a delightful man. And so we came to Canada, and then I left the government after. I did a stint in provincial government, and then I decided I would go into the private sector and work for 3M and so on. Then I just took off from there. I became a professional speaker because a lady I met, I wrote my first book, which was Creating Champions. I've written, I think, 7 books now. And with that first book, the lady said, "How are you going to market it?" And I said, "I don't know." And in those days, we didn't have the internet like we have today, right? So what we had to do was go and speak at large conferences. And so that's what I did. I became the opening act for some very famous American speakers. And that was quite a journey as well. I had to learn how to handle large audiences, how to pause and how to walk on the stage and, you know, hand movements and when to tell stories and, you know, add humorous jokes and all that kind of stuff. So I learned how to do that. But all along the way, something interesting happened. Around when I was 37, after our first child, we've only had one daughter. She's a lovely young lady. And I'm now a grandmother, David.
Yay!
he's only 2 months old now and just delightful. I'm so happy to be a grandma. In Ukrainian, we say Baba, so I'm Baba Beska. That's my name. But along the way, and this is such a fascinating thing, you know, my research on the subconscious mind is is pretty deep, and research in books on the internet, and then inside through my meditation practice. That's where the best information came from. But I started, after our daughter was born, I started to have memories about abuse that I had as a child, and sexual abuse by my mother's brother, who's long gone. He had some mental issues, so you know, we forgive him for everything that he did. Excuse me, and also forgave my mother for not believing me. I was 7 years old, and I went to my mother and told her about the abuse, but she didn't believe me. She believed her brother. So that was kind of hurtful. I've had to do a lot of healing, inner healing on that, because where does a seven-year-old go? You go to your mother for comfort, and you want her to listen to you, and again, she didn't believe me.
And I know that inner trauma within that can be damaging, because you want people listening to you, but you know, it's difficult because you don't get heard, you know, per se, because they like to laugh it off, or they just play ignorant to that, and then when they get older, they realize, but then by then the damage is done, the mental scarring is there, really deep, more than the initial trying to tell, because when you want to tell, it's still fresh, but when it's older and it's happened and you've dealt with it, and then they like, oh, I didn't realize, and then it opens it up again, so it's an ongoing circle.
Yeah, that's right, and that's where a mind kinetics coach comes in. In the latest book that I've sent to you, Unleashing Potential, I'm one of the authors of 16 authors in the book, and I talk about the science of mind kinetics in coaching. There are many coaching methods that are just left brain, and you talk about, you know, time mastery and leadership competencies and so on. But with mind kinetics, we can go deep into those cells to find that trauma and heal it. Because if we don't heal it, I'll give you an example with women. And Dr. Christian Northrup, who has written many wonderful books, she's an MD, she said that if we don't heal our trauma from our childhood, then women are going to have a really rough menopause. And that is true. And then the same with men. You know, why should we carry those burdens around with us? Because they suppress us and they can cause disease. Yeah. So that's the biggest part of my journey so far, has been developing the science of mind kinetics for coaching and leadership. And science is very fast. Within 5 seconds, we can help a client find the root cause age of when a negative behavior or a negative thought began. 5 seconds, David. And then and we go into the chakras, right? We go into those cells. We find out exactly what caused the cell to shut down, what trauma caused it. And then we ask questions, and the client starts to remember, just like I did with my first coach. She wasn't a coach. She was a facilitator of stress elimination. That's the name she gave herself. And she started to open my cells and my memory to it. And I am so grateful, because the healing journey began. And I was to remember the abuse. I remembered the abuse by my mother, not so much by my dad, and by, you know, relatives, and by, and later in the corporate world, as a woman, you know, I watched a parade of men get jobs that I know I was equally qualified for. And then in the private life now, I have watched men get coaching contracts because they're men, where I have the same skills, the same knowledge, and maybe even more wisdom. You know, you never know, right? So when we have that kind of trauma, it's important that we deal with it. Have I completely healed? Probably not. But I have a file. I need two hands to show you how thick it is. The file that deep of all the sessions I've done on myself, sessions I've had by other mind kinetics coaches, to delve into the subconscious to find out what that trauma was. And what's exciting about mind kinetics is that we can also go in and find the happy moments, the positive strengths that we exhibited during those difficult times, or just happy moments. And we use all of that positivity to diffuse the emotions from the trauma and get rid of them and change the mindset and the pattern in the subconscious mind. Most people don't understand that. They think, well, whatever I'm thinking right now is how I run my life. It's not true. It's the subconscious. It's our beliefs, our emotions, our fears in the subconscious mind that we need to find out and get rid of. Some people who do, professionals who do hypnosis can help out. Mind kinetics is so fast, as I just explained to you. So I say to people, if you want to live with your trauma, if you want to live with your anger and your judgments, your blame of yourself and others, go ahead. But why? Why, if it's going to cause you to be unhappy on a daily basis? Get rid of it.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
It's very powerful, and I do believe, like I said as well before interview, and I said it, about many things, you know, life can be fun, it can be full of laughter, but there is a serious side to life.
Yeah.
And if you've had trauma, like in this case, and I, you know, understand totally, you know, abuse, if you've been abused, it can be traumatic, and yes, it will bring the serious side to life.
Yeah.
But then that's where you lean on people, that's where you go to people. Yes, for some it's difficult because it's about the constant guilt, but there is help there for individuals.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, which reminds me, as a coach, I work with people in 50-plus countries. I've lost count of the exact number, and it doesn't really matter. But we also know that there are people in some countries who can't afford coaching. And we keep our fees quite reasonable. So what I developed was a methodology called the Brainwalk. And your viewers can go to www.thebrainwalk.com. And it's a self-healing tool. In 15 minutes, you can bring out of your subconscious mind what's really bothering you. Out of the subconscious will also come a strength of yours that you can use to diffuse what you're upset about. And then towards the end, you go into your superconscious for solutions. It's brilliant. It simulates how Einstein used to think. And we know what a great thinker he was.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage your viewers and anyone to go to thebrainwalk.com. No charge. My husband and business partner and I decided a long time ago there would be no fee. And this would be to support everyone who needs a helping hand.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Now, I know you said you was busy when you wrote the emails to me, and you're getting ready for your podcast in a minute.
Yeah.
And I'd like you to promote your podcast as well so people can be aware of that.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. Our podcast is called Mindful Leadership Beyond Borders. And I'm sure you have a real variety of guests as well. And we have guests from, today we have a guest from Hungary, a photographer from Hungary. We've had guests from South Africa, from Australia, Taiwan, everywhere, just so many countries, and they come with different talents, you know. Again, some are photographers. We had vegan bodybuilders on, you know, and all they eat are plants, and you know, because elephants are the strongest animals, they only eat plants. So you know, why can't people? And we have leaders come on, very strong leaders talking about leadership competencies, and we have people coming on who talk about their addictions and how they got rid of them. So we have topics in any area of life. Probably similar to you, David, right?
Yeah, and I believe everyone has a journey, and it's, you know, if it can be explored, it can be explored.
Yeah, exactly. So they can find us on YouTube, also Spotify, Apple Music, any place where podcasts are shown, so are listed, so they can.
And if people want to get hold of you to ask you for directly any questions, can they do that?
Yes, and you know, I'm open to. They can find me on LinkedIn, so Betska K dash Burr. You can also email me at Betska, BETS, as in Sarah, KA, at coachingandleadership.com. And our website is www.coachingandleadership.com. So,
last of all, what inspiration would you want to give listeners, viewers now?
You know, David, number one, to have a best life, I believe we need to heal from our journeys, whatever that pain was. And I also believe that we need to do our best to not hurt anyone or anything. And that's why I'm a vegan. I don't eat animals. Treat everyone with respect and love and spread joy, spread happiness, spread hope. Our world's a little messy right now, so let's support each other to create a better world for our kids and our grandkids, you know?
Okay, and I thank you for sharing your journey with us today.
Thank you, David. You're amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right.
Bye.
Journey was hosted by David Hackett and is a Wise Words Imaging production, all rights reserved.